when you think there's not a lot there. I knew there was a lot in the Bible, but I had no idea to the depth of it, none whatsoever. I thought after I had grown up in a Missionary Baptist church, I was born to Missionary Baptist parents, had Missionary Baptist grandparents, and I thought I was well prepared to teach people about the Lord. Well, that's what I thought, but I was dead wrong. I've learned so much from him that I've tried to pass on to you like he gave it to me directly from the Word, that I don't have any way in the English language to express my gratitude to him. And I always wondered, I didn't doubt his word, but I just always thought, how can it be like this at the end? Because I kept learning to trust him and not myself and not my own wisdom. I kept learning and teaching to others, don't trust in yourself. Trust in what the Lord says. And that's wisdom. And discernment is to don't be certain you've got the scripture absolutely filled out, understood, but keep on reading it, keep on studying, no matter what happens. I learned these things directly from the Word of God by the leadership of His Spirit. And so it was very difficult for me to understand how so many people would fall away from the faith. And I caught myself judging many times. And God also let me know, don't do that. You just do what's right. You just do what I teach you. He didn't speak to me directly. But lesson after lesson after lesson, paideo after paideo after paideo after paideo, after adjustment, after raising, after spankings, after loving, after squeezing, after hugging, after raising me, I suddenly realized that's why his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's been trying to teach me all these years. Trust me, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about the elections. Don't worry who's going to get the election. Don't worry about all the fights and stuff that are going on television. Don't worry about who comes out the winner. Jesus came out the winner. And that's it. He came out the winner. He is the winner. He's the only one who understands what's happening. And he's the only one who controls it. We know that God sets up rulers like the Pharaoh and like Nebuchadnezzar. He's taught us throughout his word. God sets up the leaders. So don't be disappointed. Just understand that God's in control. So when I realized that, I said, I'm not worried about anything. God's people aren't going to fall away. That just applies to lost people. That was a long time ago I came to that conclusion. By this time, I have realized I was completely wrong. God is absolutely in control. But God's not always going to ask, give me what I pray for, because that's trusting in your own wisdom. I don't care who wins the election. God's already won the victory. I like the name of Victory for Church, because he's the head of victory, he's the foundation of victory, and his body is what won the victory. So I title this, Do Not Draw Back from the Faith Once Delivered to the Saints. Well, what I could not understand, I now understand. But why explain it? Why go through it? It's happening. I should have just accepted this all the way along, not try to sit around and worry about what's going to cause it, what are we going to do, what are we going to say, how's it going to go, what's going to happen that sets it all off? Well, I'm just curious. I don't think God was irritated because I was curious, but I think God wanted me to understand, Tom, don't worry about stuff like that. Don't I tell you what I'm going to do? And I guess I wanted to know the day. I always wondered, when will the day be? And after all these years, there's no way I can tell you what day Jesus is coming. There's no day I can tell you what week is coming, what month, or what year. But I am firmly convinced that what God has taught me over the years is, don't worry about that. You can tell the signs. You say, well, God doesn't give signs. Well, He didn't to those people back there. But he gave us the Word. And when the Word indicates it's getting close and the things are happening that he said would happen, then get ready. And so a lot of people are falling away from the faith because it's like a little shepherd boy that kept hollering out, "Wolf, wolf, wolf," and there was no wolf. People have had the timing of the Lord's coming predicted to the day by year, 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988 was one of the most popular books of this last century. And the truth is, it just doesn't work that way. A lot of people say, "Well, my granddaddy told me that, and his daddy told him that." And they say it's never happened. Well, I tell you one way in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the rule doesn't work all the time, but it works about, I'd say, 95% of the time. When you see the word just, you know what that means? Justified. You say, "Well, that's perfectly obvious. If a man is just, he's justified." No, if a man is justified, he's just. Because nobody can make you just except Jesus. And even the Old Testament, as you were taught us so brilliantly by the Lord, how in the Old Testament you were saved by grace. And Robert taught you that this morning. It's plain, but it's right there in the words. You can't miss it. And if you just put that word just, may say justified, most of the time you'll have it right. Now, the justified shall live by faith. That's the intention of it. That's usually the meaning in Greek of it, or in Hebrew. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That doesn't say, now the just shall live by faith. Well, are you living by faith right now? Well, here you are. It's Sunday morning, and you're here. Are you justified? Are you just? You say, "Well, if God justifies me, I'm just." Well, you're just. Now, God is not pleased when the justified draw back into destruction. The word perdition is destruction. Destruction of what? Destruction of the rewards you have waiting in heaven. Not the destruction of it, but the elimination of it. Perdition. Does it say, "Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, and he shall end up in eternal hell"? Does it say, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, his soul will go to hell"? Where does it say that? It doesn't say that anywhere. If you'll put that ED in, it'll help you an awful lot. And the truth is, the person that are justified, the people that are just, they are justified by the promise of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I had a preacher tell me one time in school, he was a holy roller, and he was there in school, and I went. There were some there that they allowed to go to school, and he would talk to me, and we would have conversations, and he was convinced that after you got saved, you went to hell if you sinned, and I don't, his philosophy was so messed up. I never really did understand what he was talking about, and I don't think he did either. But we would sit there and discuss it, and I would tell him the same things I'm telling you, and I would go to numerous scriptures that proved it. Now, this is appropriate for what Christians are facing in these last days. So why am I telling you this late? Well, the Word's told you so many times because I've preached it here for many years, and I've told you when I was wrong, corrected it when I had told you something that I found later on that God didn't mean that by what He said, that the words didn't verify it. So I've tried to be open and honest with you. My soul has, my spirit has. It's been saved. My soul's been sealed and saved. And I've tried to resist the devil by turning to Christ and praying urgently that He help me to understand this and give me wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Now, I'm a justified man. I'm a just man. You say, "How can you be certain?" I was made just by Jesus. What's that called? Justification. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's why Abraham was a just man. God justified him. Now, why is this appropriate for what Christians are facing in these last days? This church, along with others, has experienced a falling away from the faith. I see it happening every day. I knew it would happen because the Bible said so, even though I did not understand and still do not completely understand why people fall away. I'd have to get into their personal motives to do that, and I'd be judging myself. So what can I do? Well, I'm doing what I can do. I'm trying to teach you what the God said in the last days would happen. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And that knowledge has produced tremendous confidence in man's own ability to do anything. Jesus scattered them at the Tower of Babel because he said, if I don't do this, they will be able to perform anything. Look at what they're doing now. Look at what they're doing. You say, well, God's involved in all that. Well, God knows what they're going to do before they do it. He knew all these formulas and things, but the devil's doing it. And he's making people see man's wisdom manifested, and surely we can overcome anything. Only God can overcome anything, and only God can overcome the devil. So draw with me on this, and maybe I understand better than when I came up here what would happen at the end. Why? Just because God said it would happen. Okay, it's happening. So what else can I do now? This is appropriate for what Christians are facing in the last days. It is not going to get better. It is going to get worse. As you see it get worse, don't blame the Lord. He told you, he warned you, that in the last days all this chaos would come. All this indecision is coming. Look up in Washington right now. Look at that mass chaos. There's not only tectonic chaos. There's political chaos. There's domestic chaos. There's financial chaos. There's a whole ungodly wrath of names that are chaos. You think it's going to get better? No, it's not going to get better. Well, why are people running so early? Because they don't believe what God said. Why do people stick and keep coming? Because they believe what God said, even though they may not understand the way God reasons or what he has to say. God said it, and they believe it. You don't have to have an education to understand this. You don't have to even go to school. You can be born out on a camel lot and grow out with a camel and some goats and things and have an Australian mother and a hoopy-doo father. It's all right. God doesn't send anybody to hell deliberately. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So there it is. Now, don't draw back from walking by faith in Christ. Okay, you're here. You haven't left the faith yet. But I am not someone who says, I can look in your eyes and tell whether you're really saved or not. Do you know that's what people that are new lighters believe? Many of them. Like I could look an enemy's eyes and say, yeah, I can see you're saved. You ought to see her when she's mad. She must be lost then. In any case, in 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 13, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. They're here. Yea, and they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, the major portion of the persecution that's going to occur is going to be occurring in the area where Timothy lived, in the known world of Timothy's day. Where will that be? Europe? Africa, Eurasia, Middle East, and Russia, Europe. That's where the major part of it's going to happen. But if you think that we are going to be, actually, we won't be persecuted. We will be persecuted. There are more types of persecution than shedding blood. You can break a man's heart. You can break a church's spirit. You can keep pounding them until those that are weak in the faith fall away. That's what the devil does. And he doesn't do it in an obvious way where you can say, now I know what really happened. You never do know what really happened. You just think you do. God knows exactly what happened because in many times he was instrumental in it. Sometimes he wasn't. And we don't have the wisdom to figure out which half the time. So what should we do? Well, he tells us we're going to suffer persecution. Don't quit coming to church. As long as you think this church is teaching the truth, we're going to suffer persecution. If the whole church abandons, there won't be anybody in this church to teach it. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you can't tell that the entire world is full of deceivers, and they are deceiving, and they themselves are being deceived, then, my friend, you don't know, you don't understand. The perilous times are here. They're here, 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 here. And things can happen suddenly. They can happen slowly. They can happen instantly. But I guarantee you, God's aware of why they're happening, when they're happening, and what they're doing. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear. I'm your pastor. I'm scared. You say, you can't be scared. I've got a carnal nature. He doesn't want to die. He'd like to stay here. He don't want to die. You know, come get us all right now. Come get us all right now. He ain't going to get him. That's not correct English. He ain't going to get him. But he knows that. He's not ready to die and lay in the ground, even though my soul is saved, even though my spirit's going to heaven, and even though God's going to resurrect him, even though he has to tag on, because he once believed. What is it? What is a carnal man? What's still carnal about us? Our carnal nature. He don't want to die. He don't want to go in the ground. He don't want to lay there and rot. That's the way he is. So if you think you're ever going to reach the stage where you say, I am not fearing of death, you might as well say, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to death, into the grave. You might as well do what Peter did. God told Peter, Peter, you need to be converted. What the attitude is that God wants is, Lord, come quickly. And it means the manner of coming. And what you ought to want to happen is, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You ought to want it to come exactly when he has it programmed, exactly when he plans to do it, and you ought to be ready for it. That's why the first of the week position was born. It was born because people didn't want to go through the tribulation period. You say, well, those men who taught it believed it. There are lots of people in God's churches that teach things they believe that just don't match the Word of God. The first of the week is heresy. You say, oh my goodness gracious, Brother Michael Murray, you just said it. I didn't say it for a long time, but it is. The first of the week position is heresy. The first of the week position that we get down here, on, that we're going to stay down here on this earth, the Lord's going to come and take us all out, and we won't go through any part of the tribulation period. That's wrong. That's a lie. You say, well, you can't say that. It's from God. No, it's from the devil. You say, well, it's a deep well, friend. And if you're halfway down it, you better climb up out of it. Because you're going to be caught here in tribulation period. You're going to wish you had switched over and started believing what God wanted. And maybe you wouldn't be going through so much trouble and toil. And you better not abandon the faith. You say, well, I might get killed if I stay in church. Hallelujah! What a good place to die. He said, and all that will godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Churches that people believe are the God's churches are full of them. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. What did he do? He believed God. You say, how do you know he believed God? He prepared an ark. Everybody laughed at him. Well, look here this morning. Think of all the people right now that don't even believe in God. And they're increasing across the United States. Think of all the people over the world that once believed in God. They don't believe in God anymore. They've been told all this. It's been passed down by their ancestors. It's been passed down by mother, father, sister, brother, whatever. And they don't believe it. They didn't believe it in Noah's day, and they built an ark. You know, I think some of you might build an ark. You say, well, what about you? Man alive, I hope so. I certainly plan to, because I trust God. You say, well, don't be so sure, Brother Michael Murray. That's what it means to in fear. I believe it. If God told me he's going to flood the earth in his word again and said again, I would prepare an ark again. I believe. Prepared an ark to the saving of the house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is done by faith. Because I believe God. I believe all this. That justifies me because my trust is in God and his will and not myself. The crux of the message of the entire epistle is a very simple one. Don't draw back from God in the time of affliction and persecution for your faith in the Word of God. From God to the time of the affliction and persecution of your faith in the Word of God. Don't go back to a system of salvation that adds to the blood of Christ, but rather draw near to him in an even greater confidence that his blood alone is the total atonement for all of our sins. If you don't have scriptural baptism, get it. It doesn't save you, but it sure will help you at the judgment seat of Christ not to get a rebuke. You say, well, I think God's perfectly satisfied with my baptism. Was it by a scriptural church? Was it by a church that's still teaching the truth? Used to, you could get scriptural baptism in a Southern Baptist church years ago. I mean, you could get scriptural baptism just about any kind of church many years ago. You can't anymore. You say, why? You can get more members if you don't require them to be rebaptized. It embarrasses them to be rebaptized. Man, I tell you what, don't get embarrassed. You say, well, don't yep like a dog. Get rebaptized. You're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and if you were in a place where they had a church that was still teaching the truth and you wouldn't come out of a false church and journey, then you need to be examined your own heart. Don't think other people are passing judgment on you. Judge your own heart. God gave the authority to the church. And the pastor, he gave the authority. The church gave the pastor the authority. Or whoever else in the church, they needed to be baptized. The great number of Old Testament elders listed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews are given as examples as those to whom the epistle was written because they did not draw back when others stopped believing in the promises of God. The readers of the epistle are exhorted to do the same. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I was saved by grace. I am kept by grace. I am taught by grace. And when I depart from the teaching that God gave to the local church, I don't lose my salvation. Absolutely not. But what I lose is the opportunity to be rewarded for being faithful, because the first time in my life I was ever able to please God is when I trusted in Jesus Christ when I was 7 years old. Abraham believed God. God said he was going to do this, do that. Abraham believed him. And that's when Abraham got saved. And that's when Abraham was able to follow God. You have to have the Spirit of God to follow God. When you get saved, the first thing after you're saved, you start feeling a little uneasy about your baptism if you're ever exposed to the truth. And when you are exposed to the truth, God expects you to take time to believe it. You're in a church that still believes the truth. We teach that baptism does not save you, but we teach that the Lord that saved you led you to it for a purpose. When you went into the baptismal waters, you pictured to the world the life, alive, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who sits in heaven as God today. That's what you did. You say, I didn't know that. So do I have to be rebaptized? Well, in that case, I need to be rebaptized too. Because the truth of the matter is, God understands that. You say, well, what should I do? Well, was it a scriptural church? Was it a church that had the authority to baptize? Was it that kind of a church? If your answer is, I don't have any idea. Well, what do you believe right now? Do you believe what we believe? Do you believe what is in your heart? Do you believe that when you went into those waters, you pictured the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? You say, well, I had to know what I was doing. Then a million and jillion people are lost in the United States. Because when I went into the baptismal waters, I had no more idea that I was picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ than Moody's goose. I just knew that my baptism wasn't right. And I needed to go into a church that taught the truth. You say, well, what are you going to do? I've done it. Here I am. You say, what about those people that believe and they don't even know what they're doing? Do you think God's stupid? Lord, forgive me. Do you think God's stupid? It's the church that has the authority. You're the one that believes. It's the one to whom the church gives the authority that has the authority. I was baptized by a church that had the authority, and by a man who they gave the church, they gave the authority to. I didn't know what I was doing. You say, well, when did you start serving God? When I was about 38 years old. You say, why didn't you start serving him sooner? Because I ran away from it. I didn't know I was running away from it. Oh, I knew. I did. I knew I should be in church. I should be in church. He bothered me all the time. Finally, I got in church. And after I was there a while, I had learned all the things they taught me. God called me. Man alive, what a change. You say, that's when you really got saved. No, that's not true. That's when I finally just gave up and said, Lord, I'll do what you want. Well, here I am. You say, well, if I do that, what'll happen to me? I can't tell you. I'm not a magician. I'm not a mind reader. But I know that surrender to the Lord is something that occurs in your life. It happened to me when I was 38 years old. I don't know what's going to happen to you. Are you all called to preach? Every one of you think you're going to preach? You think God's going to call you to preach? Do you? What do you think? Well, that's up to you. I doubt if you will. It's just something that God's got a purpose for you in this church, if you remember. You say, well, I want something grand. I got some good news for you. The only grand person and the only grand position in this church is the position of Jesus Christ as its head, its foundation, and we are his body. That's it. You say, well, maybe God won't put me at something I don't like. Well, what? Are you smarter than God? Are you smarter than God? Sometimes I'd a lot rather be cleaning bathrooms and scrubbing the floors, because you don't get a lot of criticism on that. I don't mind telling you missed that corner over there. You should have got that corner. You say, well, who's going to tell me that? The devil will use somebody to tell you. If you get a job in a church, don't think you're going to get past criticism. You're not going to get past criticism. I've been through all this. And that's why when I came up here, I just fought it like mad. I said, we're not going to hire somebody to clean this church. I said, we ought to clean it. And I cleaned it for years along with everybody else till I wasn't able. Why? Why? Because you're not going to. Because if you criticize it, the other church member will say, well, why don't you do it? You see, God is a lot smarter than the devil. And so when you realize the way you get an idea of how the devil works, you try to stir up church member versus church member. You try to get people to criticize one another. The church turns into a madhouse. The devil is a lot smarter than we are, but he's not smarter than God. He's not smarter than God. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why did he find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Take a look at the first time in the Bible whenever God indicates that men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Where do you think it is? Well, of course, it's in Genesis. It is. Where is about the fourth chapter? What does it say? And then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. You think Adam and Eve went to hell? No, they didn't go to hell. Do you think Cain went to hell? Yeah, I do. The Bible indicates that what he did, he never did repent of. The Lord gave him a second chance. You know, God will give people chances. Lord, I don't know how many chances he gave me. But finally, I got saved. Thank God for that. It was purely by grace. Well, why didn't Cain go? He wouldn't do what God wanted. He wouldn't receive him as his Lord and Master. He wouldn't ask him to save him. He wouldn't offer the blood sacrifice. And the blood sacrifice was essential. You can't go to heaven until you accept the blood sacrifice of Christ as the total propitiation, the total paid for your salvation, until you come to realize you can't go to heaven unless you're covered by the blood of Christ. You can't go to heaven until Jesus himself with his own blood covers you with it and you receive him as the total price, all the price for your sins. When you do that, you're helpless. It's an Italian charge. We used to say in the military in North Africa, this is an Italian charge. It means we surrender. They were terrible fighters, great lovers. And some people in the church are great lovers, but terrible fighters. They say they love the Lord, but the first time trouble comes, they run like scared rabbits. I don't run like a scared rabbit. I want to. I want to go to some other church where I can start over again and have a little honeymoon. Every preacher does, and most of them do. And that's why you've got some pastors that have pastored 15, 16 churches. If you want one of them, get one of them, because I'm not running until God kills me or until you vacate the pulpit, one or the other. Because he sent me here, he wants me here, I'm staying here. He says, Noah was not saved because he built the ark. He built it because he believed what God said. Noah found faith, had God's word. What caused them to say, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, Adam and Eve, when they came out, finally they came out and they confessed. They admitted they were wrong. And God saved them. You say, oh, it can't be that good. It was. And lo and behold, they taught their children about it. Cain knew he was supposed to offer a blood sacrifice. He knew that. So did Abel. Cain would not offer a blood sacrifice. I don't have any other sacrifice. My favorite verse is, in my hands no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I didn't realize that when I accepted him, he was there. He was in my hands. He belonged to me and I belonged to him. And for the first time in my life, I realized I can't save myself. In desperation, I called out and asked Jesus to save me. Well, I'd like to tell you, a bolt of lightning came down all the way and my feet just lit up and I was lifted off the floor and I began to jump off of benches. No, I felt relief. I felt relief. I had struggled for 4 years with it. And finally, it happened. God's Son saved me. Period. From that time forward, he began to testify that in my heart, and the devil began to try to talk me out of it. That happened for many years. But finally, at age 12, I said, I said, that's it. And I was saved. I'm sitting here as a saved man, telling you the truth from God's word, because he gave me wisdom, understanding, discernment. Here I am. And I now know that I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was saved by believing God's word. When he built the ark, we must first be saved by his spiritual workmanship through belief in his word. Then we do our works of obedience to God. You can't perform a work that God accepts. Oh, I'm not telling you that helping an old lady across the street or giving to different causes to help people physically in any way. I won't tell you that God doesn't bless those. But if you expect him to reward you for it, you can forget it. Unless he was behind it, unless he motivated you, unless it fit his word, unless it was his purpose. You say, well, that's not fair. That's what is fair. Because what you're trying to do is get God to bless you, and you work for Ford, and you go over to get your retirement from the Chevrolet place. Doesn't work that way. 1 Peter 1:23. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that I should walk in them. Am I telling you the truth? I'm telling you what God's word says. Am I telling you the truth? I am. I'm telling you what God's word says, and I'm showing you. When I got saved, I was created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I had tried good works for 4 years. I had tried to be faithful. I had tried to give what I should. I had tried to do all these things. I had tried to obey my grandparents. I had tried to be faithful. And I failed and I failed and I failed and I failed and I failed. No matter how hard I tried. Finally, I just gave up. Well, since that time, I've learned. God had ordained beforehand that I should walk in them. You say, well, are you predestined? I wasn't predestinated. God didn't sit down, well, I think I'll send Tom to heaven. I think I'll send old Charlie to hell. And because he's a Marine. Kenneth, you're in dire trouble and don't realize it. And God didn't pick us out one by one by one by one by one by one. He just told us, you want to be saved? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We were just as confused and mixed up as we were back then beforehand. And suddenly God convicted us and we asked him to save us. And we've gone down the same track ever since. The devil's tried to convince us for a long time. We weren't. And finally now he's convinced us, you okay now. The devil says, no, no, we're not okay. God made us okay, so we're okay because God made us okay. We're okay because God made us okay. And we serve Him because Christ lives in us, and everything we do for the honor and glory of God. And if we don't, He convicts us of it, and we confess that we're wrong, and we go ahead and try to let God change our lives. God is still changing the life of every person He has ever saved that is still alive. You can never reach His standard in this life. He's already reached it for you. So why are you struggling to reach His performance? Because you're supposed to follow Him. You say, but I keep on failing. He never failed. The more you fail, the more you trust Him. I'm not saying when you deliberately say, I think I'll just sin now because I just, you know, quack, 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 quack. Because God won't send me to hell. Well, you're right, He won't. But I guarantee you, He's not going to let you get away with it. Because if you continue in that mode, you're going to suffer some things that are just about equal to going to hell. Not quite, but it's something you don't want. Created in Christ Jesus. That's why I'm preaching this to you. He lives in you. Now, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm going to stop in here at a convenient time to get you out of here by time or Terry will kill me. And the Lord uses Terry as a terrible instrument. I call her the nurse from Hades. She comes in and says, get up. Yeah, okay. And she says, oh my God, she's still sitting out here. This scripture is quite, she says, honey, would you please get up? The scripture is quite concise in stating that Noah, in building the ark to save his family, his house, from drowning, presented a visible sign to the world that he had been saved by God's grace. And the rest of mankind was indeed condemned to the physical death because they did not do the same. And indeed, Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah line all the way from Seth, and Seth had a son named Enos, and all the way from Seth, way down to Noah, they all continued to follow the practice of offering blood sacrifices. They all believed in the same God that their mother and father believed in, Adam and Eve and the ones before them, and they were the only line that was faithful, the only ones that continued to serve God like He stated. Look it up for yourself. It's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You say, well, what does that mean? It means, why can't you try to do the same? Why can't you try to do the same? Surely you don't think that Noah never sinned. They ever sinned. Noah sinned. But he kept on trying to worship God correctly. What are you doing? What am I doing? Why are you here? This church teaches the truth. That's why we're here. We follow the same teachings that were taught by those that began to call on the name of the Lord in Genesis 4 and 4. That's when they did. There were millions that went to hell. Maybe not millions, but a lot. But those who continued to call upon the name of the Lord, they didn't have knowledge for zip. But they knew that Cain had committed the ultimate sin. He refused to accept the blood sacrifice which represented Jesus. They continued to sacrifice all the way down to Noah. He says, and the rest of mankind was indeed condemned to physical death because they did not do the same. And indeed, Noah did become heir of the righteousness which is by faith. But what kind of faith did Noah have that saved his soul? Did he work his way to heaven to get the promised seed to come down? Did he descend into the deep to bring up the natural seed from hell? Did his works to help the seed save him by his manual work on the ark? Describe the righteousness which is of faith that caused him to become the heir of it. What should it say if it should talk? Here we go. We're going to let it talk. Do you have the righteousness which is by faith? By faith, Noah, being warned of God and of things not yet as seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We're going to let the righteousness which is of faith speak. You think you can add to your salvation? You can think you can take it away? You think your baptism is part of it? But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall descend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or, who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? Who did that? Jesus Christ. He resurrected himself. He's God Almighty. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Here's what I say, what this says. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's what I'm preaching to you right now. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A man can save his physical life and physical lives of his house under a lot of circumstances by the works of his hands. But the salvation of the soul and the souls of those of his house can only be saved by faith in the seed of God, Jesus Christ. Noah made a boat with his physical hands. It lifted up the river waters of the flood and saved the physical lives of his household. But God's spiritual hand made a son that was lifted up so that men and women might be drawn up to him and have their spiritual lives live forever. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I received eternal life when I was 12 years old, John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. You know why I'm saved? When he drew me, I was hopeless and helpless. And I had tried so hard. And suddenly I realized, he loves me. He loves me. Now I know what I'm supposed to become. Except you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. I'm a helpless little child who has a wonderful master who paid the full price for my sins. I want you to think about that. And I lied to, well, it says 12 on this big clock. I'm going to choose this big clock here. So maybe I'll escape. Ken, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father.